From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns with you once again, standing in for Charles Kelch, who's on vacation, and welcoming you to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue with our studies in the life of Christ, and we're continuing to think upon Christ praying in the valley of death. I trust you'll stay with us for the rest of this 30-minute segment for Gospel Song and Gospel Sermon. And starting out with our hot topic for today, astronomical lunacy. English scientists have succeeded in cracking the code of an ancient clay tablet that was discovered about 150 years ago. Over the years, all attempts to read the cuneiform symbols have been unsuccessful. Until now, that is. According to the code crackers, the tablet records the sightings of an ancient Sumerian astronomer. They take his description of, quote, a white stone bowl approaching, to refer to an asteroid that, in his words, vigorously swept along. The scientists have produced a theory, and yes, the inevitable book along with it, that details how the asteroid wreaked havoc over a wide area. According to one of the researchers, it was likely to have crashed into the Austrian Alps at Köfels. As it travelled close to the ground, it would have left a trail of destruction from supersonic shockwaves and then slammed into the earth with a cataclysmic impact. Debris consisting of up to two-thirds of the asteroid would have been hurled back along its route, and a flash reaching temperatures of 400 degrees centigrade, or 752 degrees Fahrenheit, would have been created, killing anyone in its path. About 1 million square kilometers, 386,000 square miles, would have been devastated, and the impact would have been equivalent to more than 1,000 tons of TNT exploding. So far, this is just another story from the ancient past that will generate little interest beyond some academic journals. Hardly the riveting stuff that makes a book a bestseller. But then the researchers injected a note of controversy. They said that at least 20 ancient myths record devastation of the type and on the scale of the asteroid's impact, including the Old Testament tale of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the ancient Greek myth of how Phaethon, son of Helios, fell into the river Eridanus after losing control of his father's sun chariot. If you want to transform a bit of boring academic research into a bestseller, just bring the Bible into it and take the chance to debunk one of its best-known records into a tale on the same level as the stories of Greek mythology. But the entire theory is impossible. The men who cracked the code to read the Sumerian tablet used computers to arrive at the date the ancient astronomer saw his white stone bowl. They arrived at June 29 in the year 3123 BC. That was well over 1,000 years before Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, and even longer before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. So whatever the ancient Sumerian saw, it had nothing to do with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible records no mere tale. The Bible record is the sober history of the visitation of divine wrath on the cities of the plain. Of course, men would like to remove all record of God's wrath and put everything down to asteroids or other accidents of nature. However, no matter how hard they try, their efforts are in vain. The ancient record of the destruction of Sodom and her sister cities on account of their sin is a necessary reminder to careless sinners in our day that God is still the righteous judge of all the earth. To deny God's word for a clay tablet from another country at another time is a monumental error. To replace his wrath with the accidental destruction caused by an asteroid is astronomical lunacy.
Many of you have already asked for our quarterly magazine and have, I trust, been enjoying reading it. If you haven't yet joined our readership, I encourage you to do so. It's easy. All you have to do is call or write, either by conventional mail or by email, and we'll ship the magazine off to you. There's no cost to you at all, and no strings attached. We know that almost any time you order anything from most Christian ministries, you're likely to receive endless streams of begging letters. That will not happen when you write or call Let the Bible Speak. So make sure you get in our mailing list for the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you and being able to send you our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how
Turn to our studies in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pick up today's broadcast where we left off yesterday with the solemn thought of those people who will not take time to pray.
So there are people who never take time really to pray. But oh, when they're dying, they want to be able to pray. They want to be able to gain the ear of God. There's nothing more tragic when you're dealing with a soul that's soon for eternity and they say, help me to pray. I have never prayed. I cannot pray. I don't know how to pray. Prayerless lives usually lead to prayerless deaths and to hopeless hell. Let me just stop here for a moment. Some of you need to take this very personally. We live in a convenience-oriented society. And people want to make a convenience out of God Almighty and out of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He's not a convenience. Some of you have known enough of the gospel to save a universe. No doubt in your mind as to what the Bible has to say about truth. No doubt in your mind as to the way of salvation. No doubt in your mind as to the commands of God and His Word to repent and believe the gospel, to repent and be converted. No doubt in your mind whatsoever, even as to the truth of the text that we heard in song, that you should seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He's near. And there's no doubt in your mind that He has promised to be gracious and give an abundant pardon. But yet, have you been found in your knees, crying for mercy? When you think you're in trouble, oh, then I'll cry. But as soon as the trouble begins to recede, then I'll forget to cry. And I tell you, my friend, you live like that. There will come a day when you are in the ultimate trouble and you will find yourself dumb to God and God deaf to you. Do not make the mistake of filling your mind and your mouth and your heart with the stupidities and the follies and the filth of the world, deafening your ears to the call of the gospel and shutting your mouth to the pleadings of prayer. Do not do that. Leave it too late. And you'll find that you'll die a prayerless death and sink to a hopeless hell. Even professing Christians fail to pray as they ought to pray. Now, let me back up for a moment. There's no such thing as a prayerless Christian. A person who never prays is not a Christian. A person who can live his life without praying is a Christian who can live his life without praying is as impossible as a person who can live his life without breathing. It's impossible for you to have a prayerless Christian. The mark of a Christian is that he cries and he calls upon the name of the Lord. But that is not to say that all Christians live their lives in the experience of prayer that they ought to live. There are many, and perhaps that you're one of them this morning. And the pressures of life, making money, looking after the family, looking after your health, all the things that really matter, you know, looking after things that may be legitimate. But yet you get carried away from the intimacy of a fellowship with God that is real and that goes to the very heart of your existence. Sometimes it's just you get carried away with the spirit of the age. You can get so wrapped up in what you take to be usual life. You get so wrapped up in the entertainment schedule of the world. Say the entertainment I have is innocent. Well, it is innocent, fine, but it's no longer innocent if it keeps you from prayer. You get wrapped up in these things. I have a theory now. It could be just that it's an old character talking. But I have a theory. I prefer books to computers. Some of my ministerial brethren tell me I'm way behind the times. All that I have in books you can get there in a CD. But you know, I think, and maybe as I say it's just personal, but I have found that you just sit for hour after hour and day after day and week after week and month after month in front of that little screen, and it becomes your world. Gone is the time when you really open the book of God. I don't find people bowing before God at a computer screen, but I do find men of God through the ages with an open Bible stained with their tears as they have cried to God on their knees over an open book. I find that it's very easy to get wrapped up in a world of technicalities and ultimate unrealities, where you are not really seeking God's face. We have Christians and they say, the Lord doesn't speak to me. Well, man, if he's not speaking to you now, you're going to be in trouble when you're facing death. The Lord doesn't speak to me. I don't have this assurance of God speaking to me and God witnessing to me and God really convincing me of the love of God in Christ. I was reading what Martin Lloyd-Jones had to say on that, on a totally different passage of Scripture and subject. But he made a very, very insightful comment. And he talked to God's people and he said, you give the Lord Jesus the opportunity to talk to you about his love, and he'll talk to you. Trouble is, again, we're a product of this convenient society. Lord, speak to me today, but do it quickly while I'm between this appointment and that appointment. No, my friend. There comes a time when you have no appointments but the appointment with the King of Glory. There comes a time when there's nothing counts but getting through to God. There comes a time when you're alone with God and you are taking the time over the open book of God for the blessed Spirit of God to take the truth of God and show you the Son of God. That's what's needed in your life. And I tell you, the tragedy with so many Christians is that as they go through life, they have time for business, they have time for pleasure. Sometimes, though sadly not nearly enough, they have time for family. But very infrequently do they have time for God and time for prayer. And I tell you honestly, if that's your case, You may. I say may, for God is very merciful. You may find it very difficult when the hour of trouble comes and you're passing through death. I was reading of an old slave who was riding along in a buggy with an almighty atheist of a master. And as they were going along, they could see a great tornado which was coming near. It was, as a tornado will do, dancing here and there, causing awful death and destruction. And the atheist was beside himself with terror. And he turned to his servant and he said, "Pray, man, call on God." The answer was very revealing. "Sir, I did my praying before the storm broke." When you do your praying before the storm breaks, you'll be able to pray in the storm and pray through the storm and have Christ in the vessel with you in the storm, and you will never be overthrown. What does the 91st Psalm say? Takes two terms. Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And when the hour of death comes, you will find, in truth, you're still abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord Jesus prayed throughout his life, and now as he comes into this dark period, he is still pouring out his heart to the Lord, and he was heard in that crucial hour. His prayer for Peter was heard. His cry in Gethsemane, "Let this cup pass from me," it was also heard, according to Hebrews 5, verse 7. He was heard in that he feared. His prayers on the cross were heard. Now think of that. His prayers on Calvary were heard, and even there he knew the Father's presence and support. Now that may seem to contradict his cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But actually it doesn't. That's a quotation from Psalm 22 and verse 1. And it is true that, and this is the unspoken, as far as the New Testament's concerned, this is the unspoken cry of Christ on Calvary. The world could hear, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But the heart of Christ went on to pray, "Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent." Does that not seem to say that he was not heard? Does that not seem to say that he did not have the comfort of the Father's presence and the Father's support? It does, but read on. Down in verse 24, and this is continuing his prayer. "He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard." You see, verse 1 and 2, etc., describe Christ's experience as the sin bearer and the wrath bearer. But verse 24 tells us that he kept praying and that he won through and God answered him. Now, though there is no parallel between the death of Christ and the death of any of his saints, for we are not wrath bearers or sin bearers, though there is no such parallel, yet it is true that in trouble or in the hour of death, believers may have their faith tested. It may appear for a time that God does not hear their cry. They may, despite their praying, have to suffer great physical agony. They may feel the depressing assaults of Satan. For remember, there is no mercy in Satan. And when you are at your weakest, he will be at his most malicious. Christians may feel that they're sinking in that deep mire where there's no standing. So that though the causes are different, their experience may reflect that of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they will find still that the Father hears His people, as Christ had His prayers heard.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So, visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.